Chapter 6. Holy Ordos. There were gardens under the ice and rock of the Antarctic. The recreated habitats of a thousand worlds graced the deepest catacombs of the Inquisitorial Fortress. Most were small, places for the study of dangerous environments or the pharmacological benefits to be wrested from promising species. But there were those set aside for meditation. The Inquisition understood well the need for calm and clarity. The Park of Oak was one of those places, 40 hectares of vibrant green, caged by skies of black Antarctic rock. Veritas met Venand under the gnarled branches of an ancient tree that had never seen the sun. Its leaves rustled in the unvarying breeze of ventilation ducts, otherwise the forest was silent. No bird or beast lived there. The deep quiet sharply defined the crackling of leaves under her feet and the hiss and whir of Veritas's life support system.
"Venand," said Veritas.
He was haggard, his skin looser and paler than normal. She attributed it to the conclusion of the war against the beast. The closure of a mission often had the same effect on her. Months of high activity and adrenaline were followed by deferred exhaustion. "Is it time for us to resume our struggle for the seat of Inquisitorial representative?" she asked.
"I hope not," said Veritas.
He appeared disappointed that she had brought it up. He rested an arm and hand upon the trunk of the tree.
"There are more pressing concerns."
"Let's get this one out of the way, then. I've made my decision. I will relinquish the seat to you. My concern was the alien threat, and that is now done. It is your turn." Veritas was taken off guard, but composed himself before an expression of surprise could take shape.
"You have my gratitude."
"You have mine," she said. "I've sat in the Senatorum too long. I have to think of the future. It is time I began to train a successor." Veritas became thoughtful.
"Something I have neglected. I never had time to plan for that future, and yet the future is why we are here. You know the Terra was once an ocean world, inhabited by a trillion different species of life."
"I cannot really imagine it. Terra is so dead," she said. "Although I have seen other oceans, it is impossible to picture them here."
"It was a long time ago. I am very old, Venand, but even in my youth, Terra looked much the same as it does now. But once it was rich in life," said Veritas. "Our ancestors, for all their might, did not take care for the future."
"I have been lectured about that more than once by the Eldar," said Venand.
"Hypocrisy is their most aggravating characteristic. The fall of their empire sterilized countless worlds," he said. "You put too much faith in them."
"And you too little," she said. "They are implacably opposed to chaos and have helped me many times."
"The Eldar are prideful and conceited, practically blind to their own faults."
He smiled tiredly.
"Listen to us. You are the one who champions defense against the alien, but works with them against chaos. I am the one who fears chaos above all things, but lectures you about the Xenos threat. Maybe we are both right. The Eldar are right about one thing. We must think of the future. The Inquisition must change."
"So you promised Thane," said Venand guardedly. "Did you have the right to decide that alone? Who is to say the others will agree?"
"They will agree," said Veritas. "My question is, do you?"
"If you are confident you can impose change, why do you need my opinion at all?" she said.
"Because you are still the Inquisitorial representative alongside me. We were opposed. Now we work in unity. A unified decision from us will carry much more weight."
"So you are not confident of change?"
"Without you,"
said Veritas.
"No."
His breath wheezed.
"I am uncommonly tired. Walk with me away. There is a bench not far."
He led the way down a narrow path of chipped bark. Through it and the litter of the forest floor, patches of growth mesh were visible, twisted up by the actions of the tree's roots. The more she looked, the less natural the forest became. "If I am to trust you, then there can be no more secrets between us," she said.
"Agreed,"
said Veritas. though they went at no great pace. He was breathing heavily. "Then tell me more of the Space Marine chapter stationed on Titan that nobody except you appears to be aware of." Veritas grasped at branches as they went on, only lightly, as if he were seeking approval from them. They came to a clearing in the trees. A wooden bench, made of a split tree trunk, occupied the centre. Water pipes and a blinking environmental control station at the edge of the glade further undermined the nominally natural feel of the forest.
"They are an important part of the reorganization, and a means to convince the other Inquisitors to agree to our plan."
"It is your plan, Veritas, and I still do not know what it is." Veritas had trouble lowering himself to sit. He leant on Venant, and she sagged under the pressure of his armored grip as he sat. When he let go, it was as if the weight of the world had come off her shoulders. She sat beside him.
"They are called the Grey Knights," said Veritas. "They are a force of warriors without peer, engineered from gene seed taken from the Emperor himself 1,000 years ago. A last parting gift from our god before he was taken away from us to sit upon his golden throne."
"They are Adeptus Custodes, then?" Venan rubbed her hand along the wood. Whereas the bench in the Sigilite's retreat was smooth and dry, the grain of this wood was rough under her touch, the strands of lignin still swollen with moisture. Although dead, it smelt fresh. A sense of life still clung to it.
"They are greater than the Adeptus Custodes," said Veritas. "Each one is a potent psyker. Their strength is in their brotherhood. As the end approached, the Emperor foresaw a need for warriors who could stand against chaos, incorruptible and mighty. And he made them so, the mightiest warriors beside the Primarchs he ever created. For them, the demon holds no fear. I believe that in time, the Emperor hoped mankind would realize its psychic potential, avoid the catastrophe that struck the Eldar, and end the threat of chaos forever. In the Grey Knights, I see hope for the future. They are the pinnacle of what we could be."
"The Eldar are psychic by nature. From what they have hinted, that sped their destruction. They tell me that we have already fallen. The Dark Age of Technology was our era of might, and even then we could not match their empire of old. They persisted for millions of years, we for mere thousands. And now we slowly die." She thought of the Sigilite's retreat as she said that.
"We rose again, and we can rise a third time. They are the spent force, not us," said Veritas. "We must believe this, or we are doomed. When you see the Grey Knights, you will understand that there is hope."
He was trembling. His breath was shallow, and he perspired. Venant looked at him with concern. "Are you ill, Veritas?"
"I have felt better. I shall rest later. First, hear me out. There were once four of us who knew of this chapter. The secret has been mine alone to keep for years. I do not share it lightly."
Veritas became grim.
"Assassination. Execution. These have been the sentries to this knowledge. I have been forced to employ exterminatus on 3 occasions to keep them hidden. That is how delicate the matter of their existence is. I could not call them in to fight the orcs. Their psychic abilities would have proved useful, but though they are mighty, they would have fallen, and we would have lost a valuable weapon against chaos."
"We needed all the warriors we could get," said Venant.
"They would not have tipped the balance. We would have won or lost, with or without them. Weapons should be applied to the appropriate threat."
He clenched his fists on his knees and turned to her.
"And we agree there are 2 threats.
"Of the alien and chaos," she said.
"The aliens of this galaxy pose a danger. If I had not believed it before, then this war against the beast would have convinced me. But we cannot ignore chaos. Dealing with both is impossible under our current organization. I believe that the remit of the Inquisition is too diffuse. We need to specialize so that our efforts can be better focused. This is my proposal, that the Inquisition adopt a bicameral nature. The Ordo Xenos shall concentrate its affairs upon alien threats. The Ordo Malleus shall devote itself to rooting out chaos wherever it shows itself. with the Grey Knights as the Chamber Militant of the Ordo Malleus, and the Death Watch providing a similar role to the Ordo Xenos, both Ordos will be equal in power. The Inquisition will be better able to combat threats mundane and supernatural.
What of those Inquisitions who have no desire to specialize? Asked Fenand.
There are some. But most you and I know have their own particular areas of interest. In any case, there are other dangers facing the Imperium. These two are just the largest. I am not suggesting an absolute division. The nature of these threats is that sometimes they are intertwined. Individual Inquisitors will be free to move between them. Others might stay free of both.
What if some of the others take to your idea and suggest the need for more Ordos? Said Venand.
Then they can be constituted as and when they are needed. With a model of these two in place, I would imagine it would be easier to do so. For the time being, two will suffice. Venand, I am speaking of creating a framework which can support Inquisitors, give them access to specialist equipment and personnel, and an army to use if required. I am not speaking of imposing an absolute hierarchy on the Inquisition.
But this will introduce hierarchy. It must by its nature. With hierarchy comes oversight, she said. Our comrades do not like to work with others looking over their shoulders.
Nobody is immune to corruption. Oversight is needed. A rogue Inquisitor can do so much harm.
Venan's mouth twisted. This change is greater than specialization. You are suggesting a hierarchy where none exists. There is no ruling council for the Inquisition.
I am not proposing a binding hierarchy. Our freedom to act as we see fit is our greatest strength. It is time the organization we do have is formalized, that is all. We cannot rely on ad hoc quorums to guide our fate. There must be a council of the most high inquisitorial lords.
Venand laughed softly. The Senatorum Imperialis has exhausted my patience with councils.
Ours shall be smaller and uneven in number so that deadlock can be avoided. Until now I have assigned the Grey Knights where I see fit. We must decide a new mechanism for their deployment. I cannot live forever. Would you put that power into the hands of another?
She gave him a look. You trust yourself, evidently.
There were once four of us, he reminded her.
There were four founding members of the Inquisition, thought Venand, but his being one was impossible. Even so, he must have been heir to that line, and the system of the Four Lords was long defunct. You're older than I thought.
Much older, he said.
He blinked.
Venand?
Veritas, are you all right? He gave her a puzzled look, then his eyes rolled back in his head, and he fell from the bench to the thin artificial soil. Venand knelt by him. Veritas's face was pressed into the ground, sealing shut his nose and mouth. She tugged and tugged at his armor, but could not right him, so she rocked him back and forth until she could get to his head and turn it to one side. When he was breathing again, she spoke urgently. Vox speed, activate! Her wrist chimed. This is Venand. I'm in the Botanicum, the Park of Oak. I have a medical emergency. Veritas is down!